Drunk on Comics, episode 158, brought to you by InkWhiskey.com. Mental organism designed only for comics.
With a K.
Here's the thing, it's a real documentary. We all got Men in Black, like, buzzed in the face, whatever, and we just forgot about it, because that's what Will Smith
does. Are they doing a sequel?
Yes, and I can't wait to that. But that is one of the best fucking documentaries in the world. And we have to remember it every 4th of July, least we forget, like we did.
Least we forget?
Yeah, I don't know, isn't
that? Lest.
Lest.
Whatever.
Lest we
lest
forget.
We forget.
Least you guys.
Got the WDB frog. Oh. Where there's dancing frog in.
So you guys are all lively today.
Yeah, let's do this.
Kind of spent yesterday in the sun, so.
Really?
Yeah, actually.
You're still translucent.
Yeah. I think I'm tanner than you.
It's a special kind of talent.
Like, oh my goodness.
It's awesome that the ginger has more skin color than you do.
Fun fact, gingers don't get sunburnt. Gingers just can't stand the purity of sunlight. That's why they live in darkness.
Oh. I liked the little meme that said, that said, myth, gingers don't have a soul. Fact, gingers earn a freckle for every soul they steal.
there was a picture that it was a girl sunbathing, and it says, you know, look at how white she is. But then they're like, down at the bottom of the thing goes, no, not the girl kind of sitting up, the girl laying on the ground, and then you are like, holy fuck, there's a pale ass person on the beach. Did not see them at all.
Yes. The picture I posted on Facebook of me, you can't see my arm because it matches the sand.
That's nice. So we're terrible people.
Yeah, to each other, and yes. But it's weird, there's five of us today.
What's weird is, it's 4th of July weekend, and what's weirder is that we are such terrible people that we missed our own fucking birthday.
Oh, yeah, what? I fucking remembered it during the week, we were drunk and then I totally forgot, too.
Yeah, so June 24th was our third anniversary.
Cheers to us.
Cheers, yay.
Cheers for years.
I'm like sitting there going, oh, wait, that's like 2 weeks ago.
Hey, if it were dog years, we'd be old enough to drink.
That's fair, yes.
True. 7 years.
I love how all of you took the time to do the math.
Three times 7. No, just... 21, that's right.
Everyone's doing hangover math.
So, anyway, guys, welcome to Drunk on Comics. My name's Derek.
I'm Matt.
New Derek, not old Derek.
Lens.
What?
And then there's the guy. Just that guy.
The voice.
Yeah. The voice of a generation. No.
Degeneration.
All right. So we got lots of people, which means we got lots of books. So let's get it started.
Well, Bizarro America Part 5, which is actually Part 2, but in Bizarro World, it's Part 5.
So you're going to go last.
I am going to go last. So, the story was inaccurately recalled by Bizarro and vaguely told by Heath Corson and Gustavo Durante, who also did the art and the cover for it, too. Fun book. If you're not familiar with Bizarro, he is backwards in most things. You couldn't be backwards in everything because then it wouldn't make any sense whatsoever. And if he was backwards in everything, he wouldn't be strong like Superman. He'd be weak, right?
True.
But, you know, he's got the flaming breath and the freezing eyes. And
Well, he also says, though, that I'm super weak or something. Like,
yeah.
He makes mention of, like, opposite words like that.
He
like,
says, I'm going to lose to you. And the villain's like, stop agreeing with me. It's really annoying. And instead of up, up, and away, it's down, down, and far. Or near. Down, down, and near. So it's a fun book to read, and it does mess with your mind where you have to go, wait, am I just that drunk, or did that just say that? And yes, it is said that. So
you are that drunk.
Boo-ray to Bizarro. Fun book. You get the first half of it is the continuation of part 6, which told the story of... this used car salesman in Smallville mind-controlling people. But then Jimmy Olsen, right, from the Superman comics, is the worst friend of Bizarro, and they're going across America. Or Canada.
Yeah, well, yeah. Some of the stops they had in this one were kind of nice.
In the opening cover, when they rehash the story, Bizarro says, "And we're taking an awfulest road trip to Bizarro America, Canada. Bizarro Canada." So, anyway, some of the places they stop is, like, in Gotham. And Bizarro gets a batarang thrown at his head, and he doesn't even notice it. And Jimmy's like, "Yeah, we should probably get out of here." And so then they stop in Central City. And Bizarro just holds out his hand to point, it's going that way. And then they're like, yeah, we should get out of there, as he just inadvertently clotheslined the Flash while he was running by. So it's got a lot of humor. It's really fun. The art is fantastic for the kind of silliness of it. And they got a pet chupacabra. So I just throw that in there because it's pretty awesome. So anyways, if you want a fun read, it's also very kid appropriate too. If you got... you know, kids that like to speak in Bizarro language.
They confuse the shit out of your children.
Yeah, perfect for them. So so go pick up Bizarro America.
Yeah. Cool. You guys are actually, on. Like I heard Tony talk about issue one. Six.
Yeah, well, issue six, yeah.
Yeah, issue six, issue one, whatever it was. And you guys know I'm not a big DC guy, but I'm curious enough about this. It almost reminds me of, like, Mad Magazine humor. From what I'm hearing you guys talk about, like that's in my mind what I'm.
It's silly. It's kind
of, yeah, but you know. It's just well written. Like I've trying to decipher some of the, you know, the dialogue in there, and I'm just like, fuck me, man, I could never write this because it would be so confusing. Like seriously, to write. I mean, I obviously they could just write the script and then just change words, but even then, that doesn't necessarily have the context of being Bizarro. So. It's genius what they're doing, and it's a fun ride.
Yeah, very fun ride.
Across America.
New Derek, what do you got?
You know, I've kind of been into MODOK Assassin lately. I kind of picked it up on a whim because it seemed super ridiculous, because everyone loves the mental organism designed only for killing. But in this one, does he find love?
Aww.
That's a good question. Aww. How can a giant floating head with a million weapons actually find someone?
You know, MODOK is one thing that I've always really enjoyed, and I want to figure out how to do a really awesome cosplay as MODOK.
You're probably going to have to kind of like scoot around on some wheels or something.
Well, dude, get a hover around. I mean, it would be...
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
What you do is you just get your head... And then you put the suit around the head, and then, like, the rocket coming down in your chest.
And just wear
black the rest of it or something. Or, like, a whole bunch of AIM soldiers underneath.
Anyway.
So now that we've gone off. Written by Christopher Yost. This is probably one of the funniest things in Secret Wars that I've read. I mean, the first issue was just him going around killing people randomly, like he tends to do, including Bullseye, who was apparently pathetic. But in this one, a beautiful Thor from the Thor Corps falls from the sky. And he has to struggle with his inner desire to kill her, but he also falls in love with her at the same time.
Yeah, judging by the cover art, it looks like the girl Thor is actually Angela, but with Thor powers.
Yeah, I guess. They didn't really say that.
You got a lot of ribbons passing around.
She's got weird just plates over her abs. Like, that's her only armor.
That's one way to get
armor.
No, those are her extra nipples, like a pig or any mammal.
Okay. Is that why Thor had that one suit with the...
with six nipple covers? Yes.
I'm...
Asgardians are like breeding animals.
Well, this is degraded quickly. I'm just gonna stop talking about this now.
So you're the voice of degeneration now.
The spawner of chaos and the enabler. Yes, this is great.
So how did it end up though? I mean, is he still falling? Is he gonna kill?
He saves her after he tries to kill her at the same time with a negabomb, and then at the end, a million assassins are coming to kill him. So
maybe he's gonna become the hero.
Maybe, or maybe he'll kill everybody.
So maybe now he's the...
or both.
Mechanical organism designed only for kissing.
Oh my God, ooh. I was totally thinking the same thing.
can't lie, totally stole that from a Superhero Squad episode, but...
He does have a lot of lip.
And maybe he could be a stand-up comic and he'd be designed only for kidding.
Or he could be a babysitter and designed only for kids.
Like, could also be a pedophile with that same name.
I just know that if the two get together, it's going to be rated R because it's going to be a lot of head.
Oh man, Tony, I'm going back to the kids one. His Chris Hansen would be his nemesis.
Oh god,
it'd be awesome.
I just wanted the cookies.
I just come in here to tell her that she shouldn't do this.
You know? Now I'm just picturing this Angela Thor being 17.
What if they made like a Christmas issue and he was designed only for Kringling?
He's been like going.
I was like, what are K words? They're worth this shit.
He's Australian. He's designed only for kangaroos.
But his little legs are no good for hopping.
Oh god.
Who's next?
He's gonna play soccer. He's designed for kicking. All right, I'll go next. Okay.
Moving on.
So this book, it's something different. Also, at the comic book shop, I got confused by it because I thought it said Inhumans. I was like, oh, wait, no, that's that book, The Humans. So it's The Humans number 6, which,
oh,
if you haven't been reading this.
Wow, you picked that up.
Yeah, it's Sons of Anarchy mixed with Planet of the Apes. It is a biker book of fucking apes.
And at least in issue 1, it is of fucking apes.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck yeah, because that's what I'm going to say. Fucking A, they use the F-bomb more than...
Oh, no, like gratuitous fucking. Oh,
no, yeah, but they also say fuck fucking lot.
So it's like a David Mamet play.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're at the strip club in this one. It is a very interesting take on this. Reading an article... about the creator, Keenan Marshall Keller and Tom Neely. Keenan the writer and Tom is the artist. When they were coming up with this, they wanted to do a book of bikers, but they... So, like I said, a Sons of Anarchy type thing, and that's different. But then they're just like thinking, apes is the would make it so much better, which it kind of does in the comic booky kind of sense, but seriously, it's a little like... When you see the monkey girls strip club, you're kind of like, oh, those aren't really boobs I want to look at being drawn.
What's wrong with ape boobs, Tony?
Why are you hating on monkey boobs?
Are they hairy?
Do they have 6 nipples?
No, because they're apes, Derek. Jeez. Oh. No, apes, know your animal and it.
Shape their chests?
No, see, well... What
boob stubble.
All right, so I read issue 1 of this, and it was a good story, but I mean, for me personally, it was some of the gratuitous sex that turned me off because it was apes, because when the one dude's getting a blowjob, I didn't want to see the ape penis.
Oh, yeah, there was a part where they've shown the strippers and the titties, and then they're showing after the giant bash that the humans being their biker gang name... them having a party, and there's this dude on the pool table, and yep, there's his giant floppy monkey dick.
Okay,
and...
so you're saying, like, you see monkey butt, you see monkey just playing with them, their penises, you see gross monkey boobs. So did you just guys go to the zoo, or did you read a comic book?
Well, the problem I had was that the monkey penis was pretty much, it was just human anatomy, which that creeped me out, being on a monkey.
Well, I mean, we are descended from them, so...
Blasphemy.
I know. On Sunday, even. Tony, I guess I have one question about this comic. Is their rival gang the Biker Mice from Mars?
Oh, my God.
That's right. 90s reference.
Are you old enough to remember the 90s? Sorry,
thank you. I just look 12.
However, all I'm going to say is the swearing and everything, like, I was laughing out loud when it started saying, you monkey fucker instead of like motherfucker, and I'm just like, that's kind of a funny thing to throw in there, but yeah, definitely not a kid's book. And I was surprised that Image does this, because Image has a lot of more.
You got an image to maintain.
Yeah, pretty much.
this is puntacular today, isn't
this is
it?
Just the worst puns ever.
Well, so, Image does a lot of over the top. Gratuitous books, though.
Isn't Saga Image?
Saga's Image. Okay. I mean, you get a lot of stuff there. Black Kiss from Howard Chaykin.
Oh, shit. I guess I haven't realized some of those are Image books.
Yeah. Sex Criminals.
There goes my old boss. Yeah, yeah. Get friendly out the window.
Yeah, it's not like it's Boom doing it with their Kaboom imprint, you know. Hey, or IDW, My Little Pony and Dix. Wait.
That's fan fiction.
There is an audience for that.
That's on the internet.
Yeah.
One
of the other things I did love, Johnny, the main monkey, him going back to his flashbacks of Vietnam and the other, what?
I got to correct you, because is he a monkey or is he an ape? Because there's a big difference.
As an insult, yeah. Not monkey fucker.
Yeah, and apes would make fun of each other by saying that you fuck monkeys. Because
he's an ape.
Okay. Well, I can't stand how many times I'm watching Curious George with my son and they call him a monkey. And I go, that's bullshit. He doesn't have a tail. He's an ape. Get it right.
Well, it's possible that he just lost it in an accident.
Oh. That's dark.
I mean, do you see the shit that monkey does? He's prone to die any episode.
But, I never thought of that.
But like I said, with the flashbacks of Vietnam and stuff for in this monkey ape world, it sets it up to be real, like you could interchange these monkeys for mice, for men. It could be
of mice and men?
Yes. And it still works out the same. So seeing the rival gang getting ready to start some fucking shit up, some ape shit up.
Did you just jump in on this one? Or have you been reading it?
This one I just jumped in on.
Okay. I was curious because I didn't continue on it because somehow I missed issue 2. And then when I saw issue 3, I'm like, I'll wait for the trade. So I was kind of curious. It was an interesting premise, though, too. I mean, the fact that it's all set like 1970s style, you know.
And I remember you reviewing it. That's why when I saw it, I was like, oh, yeah, that would be a good one to do something different. And it was kind of easy to get on, especially with their fucking recap that in the beginning, like, that's where I was not going, like, what kind of book is this? Holy shit, they've swore so many times this might be good.
Yeah, it's, yeah, we'll talk later about some of issue 1 and some things that I don't want to spoil for people if they're interested in reading. Just be prepared that, like Tony said, it's not a kid's book.
Yeah.
Just because there's little fuzzy animals. So. Lynn, you want it or you want me to?
I can go next. I picked up 18 Days from Grant Morrison. I picked it up because it said Grant Morrison in huge letters on the cover.
Is that Sandra Bullock on the cover?
It kind of looks like Sandra Bullock. He's got beautiful hair.
Oh, that's 28 hair. Days.
But it was also only a dollar at my shop, so I don't know if they were just trying to push it. He did it with a company called Graphic India. So this is a book with artists and letterers from India.
Okay.
So what it's about is in India there's these ancient Sanskrit texts called one of them is called the Mahabharata. And it basically tells the history the comic book?
No, the thing. I'm fucking listening to you. I want you to repeat what that word
Mahabharata.
Was. Mahabharata, yes. Nick Du.
Vatu Varata, Nick Du.
No, he screwed up too.
Anyway. the Mahabharata is basically like a huge epic poem that describes the history of Hinduism and how the world started in Hinduism and describes all the gods that they worship in their infancy. And then it also describes the ages of the earth and then the battles that preceded the ages of the earth to set up where India is today. It's super long, and this is not going to be a telling of the whole Mahabharata because that would take probably the rest of Grant Morrison's life.
It would take at least 18 days.
Well, the 18 days refers to a battle, and that's what this is going to be about. It starts with the ages of the earth, which there's four of them. They describe them as seasons, so they go through all the seasons. The first one starts as like paradise. The last one is winter, which is what we would be living in right now. So winter is the age of greed and excess.
The Starks were right. Winter was coming.
Yes. Winter is here, apparently. But this is going to be about the 18-day battle between these cousins who both claim the throne to the area that they live in India. So it doesn't actually get too much into the battle yet. It's just setting up the sides and describing the four seasons and how this battle is going to play into the bringing of winter and how eventually we're all going to die. Which, you know, it's a heartwarming story. It's
really, really happy.
Yeah.
But then we get to be reincarnated, right?
Right, exactly. New spring. This focuses on the Pandavas, which are, I don't even know. They're one side of the battle, I guess. I didn't even really have to say that because there's only two sides. The other side is the Kauravas. But the Pandavas have Krishna on their side, and this is going to go into explaining a whole nother epic tale that happens in the Mahabharata, which is Krishna explaining to one of the brothers how he's supposed to embrace the warrior within and bring Dharma to earth.
That's the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes. I knew you would know what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And the Bhagavad Gita.
Yes, I'm pretty sure there's an 18-day song about the Bhagavad Gita.
But it was really good. It actually made me like sit down and like look into this stuff because I didn't know a whole lot about this kind of stuff. Always interests me. Like I've read all kinds of different historical religion texts. I read, you know, in comic book form. I read the Book of Genesis that Crumb did, which was really interesting too. But the art in here is amazing. It's by Jivan Kang, who is an Indian artist. So I like the fact that they're trying to explain their point of view on religion and bringing it to America.
That's cool.
So that's about it. Short and sweet.
Yeah.
More sentient than what I was last week.
Can
right?
I borrow that from
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you sure can.
All right. So this week I have 8 House, which is the number 8, no space, House. Arclight, number 1, from Image Comics. The art and colors on this are by Marion Churchland. The story, as well as one page of art, is done by Brandon Graham, and letters are done by Ariana Maher, or Mayer, I'm not sure.
Before you get in that, you need to explain the title page.
The title page being on the back cover?
Yeah.
Because this is one of the beautiful things with Image, where when you open page 1, the inside cover is the start of the story, and the inside back cover is the last page of the story.
But not knowing that, how fucking confusing would it be? Where the hell is the title page? I don't see it. And then you randomly flip it over. Oh.
Yeah.
That's simple.
Well, I mean, like, the last one I remember that caught me off guard like this was 0. You know, that one did it. And I think They're Not Like Us is still running on that same premise where there's no ads, no letter column, no nothing. It's just a fucking book.
That's what I just don't understand, how some of these people, like, aren't making the money that they could for these double-page ads and shit. Like, if they can get away with it, why does DC... That's a whole other issue, but it's
well, yeah, we'll kind of touch on that later. But, yeah, this is a really, really interesting book. And I guess one of the things that I want to start first on is I kind of want to start with Churchland's artwork on this before I kind of get into the story. This is a really, really interesting style. It reminds me of a lot of the indie comics that I picked up like in the 90s that were self-published. I don't quite know how to describe exactly what it is that he's doing. It's a very intentional style as far as the people and how they look, but it's not photorealistic. It's not in a superhero sense. It's not like it's the people are definitely great with their emotions and whatnot, but the overall look and feel to it is somewhat surreal. And I don't know how to say this without making it sound bad, because I don't mean it to sound bad. It has an amateur quality to it. But that's what makes it endearing, is that you really pay more attention, I think, to each and every line that's put on the page when it's not overdone with a lot of stuff in the background. So that being said, the story is about now Arclight is one of the characters in this book, who he is kind of the servant to his lady, if you will. And she seems to have had something happen to her physical body where she is now kind of the female version of Groot, if you will. Because
she only says three things?
Well, no, as far as physically.
She's a tree.
Her
face is a bunch of branches.
She looks like a Cthulhu tree. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, her face is a bunch of branches. Her hands are branches. Her feet are you know, branches. And she's got
probably roots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no,
branch-like roots.
No, it's what's under her feet that you can't see. Those would be where the roots are.
Mm.
Yeah.
Bloody roots.
What?
Nothing.
So, anyway, I don't know. It's almost got a Victorian setting to it, but there's magic and I think that this is going to be futuristic, but you can't tell. It's definitely fantasy. That's set up in there. There's spells, there's magic.
There's even a page of magic runes, I see.
Yes, there is. So that was what was kind of one of the really great things. Now, the story that Graham has written here really got me sucked in, because at the first, like, okay, you got this tree lady walking around, and, you know, she has a servant with her to protect her. And then you realize later that she used to have a human form. And that she's also, I think, trying to... And there's a little kicker at the end, which I'm not going to spoil.
Trying to decipher some of these pages, and it's not really coming out anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like the little, like, tablet script in here. I'm like, oh, now I'm going back to the page that has the cipher.
It's not a secret decoder page, Tony. Yeah.
It would have been cooler if it was.
Yeah. But the other really interesting thing in here is that the way that Churchland has drawn these characters. They show a picture of Arclight on the front, on the cover. And you see, it's not until they actually mention that Arclight is, they say Sir Arclight. And I'm like, wait, that's a guy? Because it has very feminine qualities with the makeup and the way the hair is done and all that. And it's like, oh, okay. And then later on you see, and all the characters have this feminine quality to them, which is really cool, and also makes you pay attention a little bit more to not only how they're portrayed on the page, but what they're saying to try and, you know, figure out a little bit more of who is who and what the kind of the backstory or the reasons that people are doing things. It might have something to do with certain genders, because, you know, like at one point you see Arclight with his lover, and you're like, those two guys? Is that a guy and a girl? I'm not quite sure. And it's like, you know, so it's just kind of...
That's the age we're living in these days.
Yeah, well, and now I don't know if they had their law passed in their fantasy world or not. But no, it's just kind of an interesting thing where you're sitting there going, okay, who's who? And you do pay a hell of a lot more attention when it's not just hitting you over the head. So, great book. Surprised the shit out of me, and I'm not going to lie. I mean, I picked it up because it looked like an old self-published book from back in the 90s, and it has that feel, and I think one of the reasons why that's a big deal for me is that the passion comes through on projects like that, and I think that's what 8 House Arclight has going for it.
Cool. So,
all right.
That was a lot of books.
That was a lot of books.
I still think we did it quicker than last week.
Well, it's mostly
five books.
It's mostly because new Derek doesn't talk.
Oh, come on.
He likes to sing. That's why he's a mechanical organism designed only for karaoke.
Oh. You've been sitting on that one for a couple minutes, haven't you?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
let's start off with some ads, since we kind of brought that up with Image. Yeah,
I was thinking the same thing. So we talked about the Twix ads and whatnot being in the DC books that are splitting the pages before. And a few months back, DC ran a huge back page ad for DCBService.com, which, or DCB. Is it DCB service or is it
DCB service?
DCB service. Okay. So they ran the ad pissing off a lot of retailers, because it's like, hey, you can come buy your comics online for a lot cheaper than you get them at the store. And DC went, oops, that's our bad. It was a mistake. We didn't mean to put that one. That was an error due to switching the office from the East Coast to the West Coast.
How long are they going to milk that?
Forever. Well,
okay, so that's what they said. Now Matt has in his hands a full page ad on the inside with the new ad for DCBSService.com.
That says StockTrades.com.
Yeah. It says our discounts are so good, we're not even allowed to put them in this ad.
Yep.
So, you know, the article I saw on Bleeding Cool, I think, points it out well when they say, seems as if they can advertise, just not say how much they're selling their comics for. Mm-hmm. So, that's kind of a slap in the face to the retailers when you're like, oh my God, we totally didn't mean to do that. Oh, wait, we're going to get some money. So, yeah, we meant to do that. So
now they're at least hiding it inside the comic book.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, who's going to actually open up a DC comic book? You're just buying it for...
No, you just, as we've been taught, we don't look at those type of ads anyways. Once they're on those pages, they got to split it in order for us to say, holy shit, Nick Lachey. That's what they need is have Nick Lachey with the Twix there.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was kind of the big thing that DC did. Now I'm curious if they're going to come back and say that...
Oops, we did it again.
Yeah. Thanks, Brittany.
Yeah.
All right. Rick Remender, who is a favorite I know of pretty much all of ours here, is taking...
I hate him.
Yeah, I know you hate
him. Oh, sorry. I thought you said Dick Remender. Rick's pretty cool. Rick's pretty cool.
No, I said Dick. Remember when we talked about Rick Remender?
My ears.
Yeah. He's taking a break from Marvel, which, not a huge shock. He's been doing a bunch of creator-owned stuff, but he's taking the leap that he's going to be able to do creator-owned stuff enough that will take care of all of his needs and costs. And
yeah, well, and I think, too, his style of telling stories really shakes things up. And it's fun to shake things up. You want to kill off characters. You want your readers to feel like, oh my gosh, is this person going to live to the end of this? Or, you know, is terrible things going to happen to him? And in a mainline comic like Marvel, you can only do so much of that. And then in a couple years, all the things that you worked for are going to be forgotten and kind of rewritten over anyways. So I can kind of see if, you know, the type of storyteller that I think he is, it makes sense that he wants to, I want to write my own stories for a while. So.
Well, and it says in the, you know, he said that he's going to be taking a break for about the next year. You know, so whether he comes back after that, who knows? Maybe it's because they already have everything lined up for the all new, all different.
Status quo Marvel?
Yes, okay. Yes. All new, all different status quo. That's, I think, probably the best description I've heard.
Maybe, too, he's just a private guy, and he's got things going on in his personal life that he actually wants
to take a vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those would be nice. But he lives in America. We don't get those here. So we had one day off for the 4th, and I'll get back to work.
I get vacations.
Those burgers aren't going to flip themselves.
Damn right they won't. Speaking of which, Derek, go give me a burger.
Hell no.
Tony, what else did you have out there this week?
Well... From what I saw, saw it on a couple different sites, but it's definitely blowing up the masses with revealing all the new, all different lineup. There are a lot of books coming out. This isn't definitive of they're going to come up with more and stuff, but there's about 50 or so books that kind of give a brief description.
Spider-Woman looks pregnant.
Yeah, that one.
She is.
Yeah. And how this all comes about is coming from the pages of Secret Wars. Now, what they've said is each one of these books is going to be 8 months after the last book of Secret Wars so that they can kind of do the, well, back then.
Oh, she's
and
about
do the,
to pop them.
You know, explain and fill in the blanks what's going on with the universe.
Yeah, like
if she had to kill the guy she copulated with.
Oh, eat his head.
But some.
I hope that's in the comic.
Maybe that's what Reed Richie is.
I will read Spider-Woman if that's the storyline.
Some of them...
I'm looking at Lynn's completely different. I'm sorry, Tony. I didn't mean to interrupt you again.
No,
but
it's fine.
She's like going, I love the idea of a woman that gets to have the sex and then kills him.
Yes.
I want to read that story. And I'm just looking. She's like just grinning ear to ear. And I'm like, all right.
Time. Mechanical organism only designed for Kegels.
Oh, God.
Death by Kegels?
Yeah.
That was a secret, Tony.
She told you that in confidence. Go on, though.
Well, some of these look kind of interesting, as we've speculated. Old Man Logan is continuing on his wild ride, and really, just looking at these gives a lot of speculation and rumors, and now context of knowing which universe they're going to be in. As they've kind of explained, they are going to have multiple different universes in and of themselves. But some of the phrasing, like Daredevil number one, it's titled The Devil's Apprentice, which looks pretty much like Gambit. So I don't know if Gambit now has his walking stick and is blind, but that's one of them. Howling Commandos of S.H.I.E.L.D., a bunch of different Spider books, as we already said, Spider-Woman being pregnant, Carnage book, Venom Space Knight, that's just kind of interesting, Venom out in space. But Ultimates, number one.
Yeah, Galactus. I heard Galactus is joining the Ultimates. That's pretty
I just don't understand that at all. Like, what is that going... Like, you have fucking Galactus on your side? Like,
he's their big brother that gives them piggyback rides everywhere.
So, I don't know. Very interesting, to say the least, but obviously we have to wait to see what is up.
You know, oddly enough, I don't see a Fantastic Four book in that lineup. Conspiracy? I think not.
Yeah. I
think so.
I think you want to think it's a conspiracy, and I think actually that's one of the things that a lot of people want there to be conspiracy against Fantastic Four and the X-Men. Here's the really simple way to explain it. Fantastic Four sales sucked.
Yeah, that one's true. But the characters don't suck, and that's why they're kind of sparsing.
Blown up into every other group throughout the new comics that are coming out.
Yeah, her thing might be with the Guardians of the Galaxy. Human Torch is going to hang out with the Inhumans. Although they already have a Human Torch-like guy, so I wonder if they're going to...
I think he went somewhere else, though, too.
And Dante?
Whatever.
Inferno?
Yeah, they had a fire sale someplace. And...
Oh, God.
You're fired.
Lindsay is just like, oh, holy shit.
There is no Fantastic Four
book.
That's
the worst joke I've ever heard.
So, would that not conclude that they are done with Fantastic Four right now?
Now that the characters are still... the characters are still showing up. Now...
Well, what are they going to be doing? They're not the
Fantastic Four
anymore. But to be fair, too, there's like... The X-Men are very sparse as well. They've been well divided into different groups and stuff. There are a couple popular characters that are getting their own stuff.
Here's part of the problem with the X-Men. And I think Marvel has started to realize this. There are far too many X books out there right now, and I think it's diluting sales across the board.
So putting out 50 brand new books isn't going to dilute sales of different books.
No, I get it. Like they're going to put all this different shit out there, but I think with so many different team books, I think you're kind of diluting things a little bit. Now, the one thing that I find interesting is that there's really no say exactly of where Reed Richards is going to be. Mm-hmm. That leads me to believe that what if they kill off Reed Richards at the end of Secret Wars?
For a while, you mean like comic book dead?
Yeah, like the way that they killed off Human Torch for, three, 4 weeks maybe?
Yeah. Speculating, you know, now having read Secret Wars number 4, one of the things that Doctor Strange points out is that Reed Richards isn't going to stop until he figures out how to thwart your plans, Doom. And also, once he realizes that he stole your life, like your wife and your children, he's going to work all the harder to stop you. So,
well, and that's kind of the other thing. I think that one of the reasons that they aren't really letting out where Reed's going to be is I think that he's going to be...
in the ground dead?
Well,
he's certainly tied to the climax and how it's going to happen.
Right, and so you don't want to let all of it out until like the Monday or Tuesday before when you send something out to USA Today.
Yes.
You know, so.
You can't spoil it this far in advance, because that'd just be silly.
Yeah, well, why would you?
But I do like that.
Oh, look, there's a press release.
These titles are eight months in the future from the end of Secret Wars, which is nice to start in on. You can jump right into a new story arc and then flashback and explain what's happened in the last 8 months, which I think is a way better story dynamic than everyone. All the books going, holy shit, what just happened? And then you read another book and they're like, holy shit, what just happened? And then you read one of the kids' books and it's like, holy crap, what just happened? So
cleanup is boring.
Yeah.
You don't want to read that.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Speaking of cleaning up, Boom cleaned up on getting the Power Rangers license.
Yeah, they did. They are kicking that off at San Diego Comic-Con. It looks like it's going to be set in the original Power Rangers era.
Do you know how much this pisses me off?
Why, I thought you would be super happy about this.
No, I'm kind of excited like a little schoolgirl inside my body. However, more fucking comic books I need to buy. I don't need that at this point in my life, so.
Please never give me the mental picture of you as a schoolgirl again.
So hairy.
So I don't know if this will lead up to, because they're doing a movie, too, that's supposed to be set in the original.
No, I'm giddy like era. A schoolgirl.
Did you not know this?
No.
So that's what you get for not listening
to the podcast.
When you're not here. So maybe it'll lead up to that, like a pre-story. I don't know. But if the art looks like what they have in the picture here, it's going to look amazing. So
that'd be fun.
Cool.
Zordon's a big floating head. Kind of like MODOK.
All right. MODOK. So. MODOK.
Mental organism designed only for knowledge.
Oh! Okay. But speaking of San Diego Comic-Con,
yes.
It does look like they are going to follow through on their lawsuit against the Salt Lake City Comic-Con over the use of the word Comic-Con.
Now.
Merca.
Yeah.
So stupid.
For clarification, San Diego has Comic-Con hyphenated trademarked.
Okay.
They don't have any other.
How do you fucking trademark Comic-Con? That's what pisses me off more than anything.
Is it the font that they've trademarked? Is it San Diego Comic-Con? Because that whole phrase I could see is trademarked.
Yeah.
Because if you're in San Diego, you shouldn't be able to have another San Diego comic convention and call it Comic-Con. Yeah. But Salt Lake City is like this whole other state, man. It's.
Yeah, the state. So, I here's my thing. If you're going to do, and why Salt Lake? What? Like, who got the hair up their ass about some Mormon that came down and went, hey, have you checked out Archon? Like, I don't get it. Mm-hmm. What? Like, how many other fucking Comic-Cons are there?
Motor City Comic-Con.
Grand Rapids, New York.
How many of them are sponsoring this show? Because we'll just name those guys. Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a fucking Comic-Con everywhere.
It's a shortened phrase for comic book convention.
Yeah. So maybe they start calling it CB-Con, but then they'll find out there's some truckers that got that, you know. Yeah, I just think it's stupid. I think it's frivolous. And I hate to say it. I hope San Diego loses this fight.
Well, yeah, it's not like Salt Lake City is taking away people going to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The people going to Salt Lake are probably not going
those
to San Diego.
Those tickets sell out like that. There's no way that this is any way infringing on their...
Is it even the same weekend?
No.
Or around the same time?
Well, that's the thing that you say, too. They sell out.
Yeah.
Even if that one person was going to go to San Diego now goes to Salt Lake...
Somebody else is going to go. Someone
will take that ticket.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they can't have more than the people that they're going to have be in their convention.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agent Carter is getting a new villain next season.
But who knows who it is?
It's probably a bad person.
That's why they're villains.
Doom's not a bad person, and everyone thinks he's a villain.
It's all perspective.
Because you're a bad guy doesn't make you a bad guy.
All right. So,
I'm happy. I like Agent Carter. I think the show was really well done, and I'm glad it's got another season, and kind of glad that they're going to tie it into the Marvel universe a little stronger with some more, you know, villains.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool that that they're going to have some villain from the comic book that everybody's going to know who it is. You know, so I mean, I don't know if it's ooh, maybe it's MODOK.
That would be just amazing to see on TV.
And they could tie it in, you know, with some really popular people, and it could be the mechanized organism designed only for Kardashians.
Oh.
Keeping up with the MODOKs would be fun.
That was, if you were MODOK, you'd be a mental organism designed only for Killing Jokes right now.
Next news item.
I hate new Derek.
That's why we call him Funny Derek. All right. Any other news?
What else we got?
Well, we have a mechanical organism designed only for Kickstarters.
Okay.
And just one quick shout out to our buddies over at Ink Whiskey. There's a little less than a week to go on this, and they only need like another 1,000 and some change to get their to get their thing funded. So pony up some cash, because if we don't get our toys, we get angry.
I really want that Kegaman cup, so everyone go spend some money, please.
Yeah,
that looks awesome.
Yeah, that's the thing that I'm most excited about. And all right. So did you guys do like the whole package?
The $70 like nonsensical everything under the sun. Yes, I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. I'm gonna come drink at your house.
Okay. We'll do all some warp shots.
Yes.
Warp shots.
Until we can teleport.
Those shot glasses are designed to fit perfectly into the Kegaman cup.
Oh, good. We can do my dad.
You can do car bombs with them. Oh.
Lindsay, I like how you think on that. So, yeah, that was the last thing I had. Tony?
Well, two things that I love more than anything is time travel and aliens. And...
Really? I thought it was your mother.
I thought it was, like, robots.
Mom doesn't listen to this, so I can say whatever. And hey, I at least visited her. She hates you right now.
Oh.
Burninated.
Grandchildren.
Oh, fuck off. Getting back to what I was going to talk about. Dark Horse is coming out with Aliens versus Vampirella, which, loving Aliens franchise, from the stills that I've seen of this, she's kicking ass and taking names.
Oh, so you're talking about the Xenomorph aliens from, like,
yeah,
the...
Yeah, like, okay. Aliens.
Okay.
Gonna be written by Karina Bechko and art by Xavier Garcia Miranda. Art looks stunning as well. This is just the previews for it coming out, but I really like this take on... You've seen Aliens vs. Predator, you've seen Archie versus Aliens or whatever, you've seen everything, which way... This looks blood and guts, and having a kick-ass superhero vampire-ish type chick that...
Is she still scantily clad?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of underboob.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to that.
Yeah. It's a true measure of a Vampirella comic.
Yes.
Well, and it's nice to see that she can get away with that, and, you know, unlike Goblin Queen. But that's fine. I'm still bitter.
So that's all that I had, so...
All right. Cool. Let's move on down to the Indie Turnpike.
All right. Indie Turnpike.
What, Matt?
I was just giving some, you know, transition music.
It was traveling music.
Segways. We Stand on Guard.
When I saw this book in the thing, I instantly flashed back to Motor City when we got rip roaring drunk with our good buddy Jay from An Elegant Weapon, and we're singing I almost said the Canadian theme song, but the national anthem outside of the hotel, just, you know, we stand on guard for thee, and just singing the whole damn thing.
Hey, you know, Derek, I think most of our listeners, except for the Canadian ones, probably only know the words "Oh Canada." That's about all we know about that song.
Well, they could go back and listen to us drunkenly sing it, more or less scream it. But anyway, Tony,
But that title makes a lot more sense to me now.
Yeah, right?
So apparently the teacher didn't know the...
I'm going to be teaching American history.
not about the Great War of...
such as the War of 1812 when a bunch of Canadians decided to invade from the north.
So this book is written by this new person. I haven't really heard of him before, but seems like he's doing a fucking good job with this one. Brian K. Vaughan. Art by Steve Skros.
Is it Skros or is it Scroachy?
I'm not sure.
I was wondering about this one. I'm thinking Scroachy.
Skroce.
But I'm guessing.
Yeah, and art or color by Matt Hollingsworth. I like that this was set not in just now at times, but in a future. So you're kind of getting this glimpse of, oh, they're going to use like cyber guns and everything. And then you see the family just sitting there watching some breaking news, and her doing some weird, like, puts her finger to her
face,
and she automatically gets like some telepathy type news shit going to her head. And
her eyes are like glowing green.
Yeah, so you're kind of getting a glimpse of what
that's a very weird future, because I always thought that eventually we're gonna have the receiver in our pinky, and then the listening part in our thumb, and then we can just put our pinky and our thumb to our mouth like we're talking on a banana phone. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, that would make sense, except for the fact that, you know, you can't hear out of your butt, and that's where your thumb normally is.
So. Rob James is the time he almost broke it.
Within the... What's also telling of this book is the first page, and what the news that they're watching is the White House being blown up. And then who's it? And then when you can actually tell where these people watching this TV is, plain as day, it is fucking Canada, because there's a Tim Hortons right outside their window there. So
nothing screams Canada more than Tim Hortons. Get a maple log.
Double, double.
What was great, though, is that, you know, while I was reading this, I was thinking of our buddy Jay quite a bit.
I was, too.
You know, like that, like, a lot. And I'm sitting there. And that's actually the whole reason, like, I saw We Stand on Guard. I'm like, I'm picking this one up for Jay. You know, that was the whole thing. And I was like, oh, cool, it's Brian K. Vaughan.
Yeah. Yay. And how this is coming about within the pages doesn't paint a good picture for the U.S. of AF, because I don't understand.
U.S. of A? Yeah.
No, because that's what missile bombs that then blow up Canada say USAF, which I don't understand.
United States Air Force.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it'd be United States of America
Federation.
Force. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. United States of America! Fuck yeah! That should be our national anthem.
And it's also interesting that this comes out right around, you know, America's celebration of our independence.
Well, Tony, I have to back up. I can't believe that you didn't figure out that it was Canadian people based on the fact that the guy had on, like, Levi's and a plaid shirt and he has a beard. I mean... You know, that's...
That could just be a hipster who does home brewing.
Yeah. The hipster's dressing up like lumberjacks. You know, that's a great thing. Well, that, and when they talked about the White House, they said White House. So...
It's on
the boot race.
Really?
Yeah. It is funny. No,
For sure. There is a man... They did
that
say that.
That would have been awesome.
They did say that Mrs. President... There's a female president, so you know it's the future. So,
because of that, you then, you know, fast forward to where their family fucked. They're dead.
Okay. Did this page after the explosion shock the living piss out of you?
Oh, I kind of, because I was like, oh, this is the main group of people that we're going to get to know in this book. Nope, not so much. Yeah, at least not mom and dad, but
certainly not dad.
You got Ned Stark.
Yeah. But it goes with you know, most theory that kids can't get in trouble if mom's still around.
I mean, this art in here is amazing. Once again, it has giant robot creatures, which are sweet. This was definitely showing the futuristic sense with crossbows that also fire off little mini missiles and other shit that goes kaboom. But it's the dialogue and the writing in here that just had me laughing my ass off. When they first run into, and do you remember the girl's name? Because I don't think they ever mentioned it.
You know what? It's funny. The first time I read it, I'm like, what the fuck's her name? And then I'm like, wait a second. Did they mention it at the very beginning? The only place it's at, the very first page, when they say, turn it off, Amber, because she's watching TV.
Oh, okay, yeah. When these Canadian force, call them Alpha Flight.
2-4 is their name.
Kind of finds them. Her, they're asking her, you know, are you United States, you know, are you Canadian or this and that? Who won the hockey,
who took home the last cup in 11? I loved her response. She's like, I don't even like hockey and I was fucking 5.
Yeah. You know? And it's just great writing within here. They obviously kind of trust her enough when this giant fucking ape mech comes around, but the best couple of pages was the dude who, when he rips off his shirt and reveals a Superman tattoo that he has
on his arm,
and him explaining how Superman is Canadian.
Yeah, that was an interesting, fun little theory. What actually I thought was kind of more fun was actually that page prior to that was when he's talking about this crew and. He says, yeah, you know, the 2-4 is the motliest crew of dead-enders ever assembled. And she's like, the 2-4? And that's what the one chief calls it, since most of the people in there knew more about drinking than fighting. Mm-hmm. I don't know how many Americans are going to catch on to that.
I didn't, but...
Yeah, well, the only reason I know is from hanging out with Jay. Thank you, Canadian friend. A 2.4 is what we call a case of beer, because there's 24 beers, so it's a 2.4. Go to the store to get a 2.4.
No.
So...
Because it's too high to count to 24.
Over Chrome sink!
That's awesome. No, that's a good... I was wondering what that reference was to.
I wish I knew French, because some of these bubbles of dialogue are in French, and I'm assuming it's not gibberish.
And there's no translation, so.
And it sucks that you can't just type that into Google and have them figure it out for you.
Oh, did you?
No, because I didn't care enough.
The one thing, and Brian K. Vaughan, very good writer. I am interested in the political message that will be in this, and they don't hint at it too much. When the Americans were attacked, they're like, oh, is it the Algerians? Is it these? No, it's probably one of the domestic terrorist groups. And then all the bombs are dropping on Canada. And so you're figuring out, well, why did Canada attack the USA? Or did the USA start the war? Because the one character says, they didn't come for our land. They want our water. And I was like, in the future, most wars are probably going to be fought over resources rather than territory. So I just thought that was it was very small. It's in passing. They don't make a big deal about it. But I'm interested in where this develops. It's kind of a political message about war.
Well, the artist I just looked up, he's Canadian. So you have an American writer and a Canadian artist working on this book.
Well, and Vaughn's, if you read the letter column, Vaughn's wife is Canadian.
It's also funny because it's like one of those mystery pictures. There's like hidden hockey pucks and sticks in the trees. Just go look for them.
Sasquatch.
Yep. And there is a maple log in there.
Call it. Yeah. This is a book that has Wolverine in it, too.
Well, it's already got Superman. Yeah. One of the things from the art standpoint that I wanted to point out, this is one of the reasons I was glad you wanted to talk about this, Tony, because I did want to talk about it. Anybody else notice how heavy lined, and I'm going to call him Scroachy until I know otherwise, how heavy lined Scroachy's work is. I mean, especially on the inks, the outlines, especially of all the people, it's really, really thick. Mm-hmm. And it actually makes everything pop off the page in a unique way. I like it. I don't know if I'm sold on it yet.
I think I was sold on, and I really am not spoiling the big decision towards the end, but that page in with the gun, beautiful. I thought that page was just amazing, and that of itself makes everything else, whatever you're thinking, be cool.
It's beautiful artwork. I mean, I don't want anybody to think that I don't think it's beautiful. It's just different for the storytelling aspect, when you're looking at sequential art, to have things stand out that vividly that don't kind of blend in as much. Very unique. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think it's one of these things where over time I'm going to look back at it and go, I couldn't imagine it any other way. But when it's a first issue, you're a lot more critical on things.
But I'm sold. This is definitely, I want to learn more about this war. Because this is obviously sent back in time from the DeLorean. This is what's going to happen, so we need to try to prevent it.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, because otherwise, it's going to be like Independence Day all over with that stuff. Tony's Facebooks.
The war no one remembers.
Yeah. All right.
You got booze in the book?
The War of 1812?
Did we come up with a booze in a book? What we were
booze
doing
in a
before.
Book is booze in a book is it? It's been covered already, and this one, like Tony's Facebook post that pops up every year, this is kind of our booze in a book every year for 4th of July weekend. It's going to be this one. I'm switching up a little bit. Captain America number 109, which was good old Jack Kirby. One is the origin of Captain America story with what most people call a rocket pop shot, but we call Captain America shots, which is Blue Curacao, raspberry vodka, lemonade, and grenadine. And you take the raspberry vodka and the lemonade and shake those together, and then you pour in layers so you have a red, white, and blue shot with the blue curacao or whatever the hell it is. The
curacao. Yeah.
You said it right the second.
Okay. You know, your grenadine and your vodka lemonade mix, and it tastes like a rocket pop, and it tastes like freedom. So, there you go.
Do you think we could have this sponsored by a mental organism designed only for keg stands?
This is your job for the rest of the podcast, is just to come up with infinitely more moments.
Case, such a hard letter in Scrabble.
All right. I'm going to go hang out with some old ladies that are designed only for knitting.
Oh!
That's a good
one. Yeah.
I just kind of thought with all the makeup that he likes to wear that he's designed only for kabuki.
Oh, no, that's because I'm a David Mack fan. and the kabuki book is one of my favorites. So
I was just thinking of the traditional Japanese art theater, but you can think of comics, okay.
Yeah, I know, it's weird. I'm like, why would you think of comic books on a show called Drunk on... Oh, fuck. Wow. So, all right.
Any last calls?
I had a couple. You guys?
Secret Wars number 4 of 8 came out. Really cool.
There's some dead people.
You know, there are some dead people, and yet at the same time, you don't spend a whole bunch of time... Spoiler alert. You don't spend a whole bunch of time building up that there's a Phoenix egg, and Cyclops has been merged with the Phoenix, and talking about rebirth. And then just kill him off like that, you know. The Phoenix is totally gonna resurrect him. And I think it's gonna resurrect the other person who might have been killed as well. But it's pretty good.
Professor X?
Yeah. No, I'm not saying anymore.
Wolverine?
Not saying anymore.
Oh.
Superman. Superman's back from the dead.
All right.
Punching people with his cape.
That's a cape with a C though, not a K. So don't.
No more luck joke there.
I know. I'd be willing to bet is that Derek's on his phone looking up words that start.
No,
with
I
K.
am actually not right now. I was trying to see if there's anything else I wanted to touch on.
The Spire came out from Boom Studios. Simon Spurrier and Jeff Stokely team up again after Six Gun Gorilla, which was fucking fantastic.
This book was beautiful.
Oh, it's Stokely's art is just insanely good. So, the Bunker number 12, and the new Bob's Burgers series came out. So
it's like what?
I'm Tina.
Is it continuing from the other one, or just a different take? Like,
I don't know why they restarted it.
That was because that's one of them. It's like it doesn't make sense.
Because it's a new number one.
Yeah, I don't really understand because every issue had a handful of stories that were self-contained, just like Bob's Burger. You know, like the show. It doesn't really continue. So,
all right,
cool.
I also got the Bunker and the Spire, but then I got Years of Future Past number 2.
Ooh. Oh, how the fuck did I miss that one?
How did you miss that one?
Yeah, that's the one with the last page that I showed you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Was that did that have the Colossus talk?
Yeah, the
that was yeah. Actually that was something I wanted to mention before. That was. When I saw that page, it was like the most word bubbly wraparound thing ever. But it was such a good fucking like dialogue.
It really was.
It's a must. Look that up. They've done still shots of that, and it's you can just Google it up. Very very, yeah, movie.
Cool. All
right. Deadly Class number 14. The Woods number 14. The Wicked and the Divine. I don't know, what is this issue 12? And then Broken World number 2. World's still broken. Yes, just in case you wanted to know.
Where's the duct tape?
Anything else for anybody else?
Midnighter number 2 came out this week, so, I mean, gay computer dude beating the shit out of people, that's always good.
Only designed for knighting?
Oh. that's borderline. That's questionable.
All right.
Does he go to church a lot? Only designed for kneeling?
Only in Catholic church. Is it like a high school fight song?
No, didn't you hear him? He said
he's
a gay. A gay computer.
All right, I'm not touching that. Not touching it.
It's okay. It's okay. Okay, anyways.
Legal now.
What's that?
It's legal now.
This is awkward now.
Yeah, awkward. So.
It's always awkward here.
Hey, do you know when he hung out with Shatner, it was a mechanical organism designed only for con?
I thought you were going to say Kirking.
Klingon. Oh. Nice. Man, we just so got the KKK in here. Oh, yeah, on that note, we're going to leave you with our fun thoughts.
We're
going to
run out the door.
You guys keep reading those comics. You come back next week and listen to us because we're going to be talking about them.
Maybe.